Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the Latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. The Hymns of Epiphany, they're some of my favorite hymns. I don't know why it is. There's something about that connection between the incarnation of Christ and then Christ being revealed in his humanity to be the true God that is amazing fodder for the church's song. One of those Epiphany hymns, The Only Son from Heaven, has a real Lutheran pedigree, and it is based, at least in part, on some very ancient songs of the church. We're going to be looking at the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven, on this Monday, January the 11th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Will Whedon joins us. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hemmel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. A joy to be with you.
This is the Epiphany season. This is an Epiphany hymn that has some unique qualities all its own. We'll discuss those in a minute. But what's the relationship between the season of Christmas and the season of Epiphany? Why just one big, long Christmas season? And why do we kind of must keep them together, but also it helps us to distinguish them from one another?
Yeah, the one flows into the other, no question. And the best way to characterize the difference, I think, is in the words of Pius Parsh. He absolutely nailed this when he said, Christmas is the celebration that God appeared on earth as a man. Okay? So God's taking on flesh. The emphasis is on the flesh that God took on. But he says, in Epiphany, there the celebration is that that man is manifested as God, as true God in the flesh by the things that happen around him and the things that he himself does. So God on earth as man, and then that man being revealed to everybody, especially to the Gentiles, as true God. So like I said, they're joined together, but the one does flow into the other.
Is there a big biblical text that runs this hymn?
Honestly, no. There's not one big biblical text that runs through the whole hymn. It is composed of many allusions to text. I will tell you, if there are, it's not that there's not some text underlying it. I really think, as we're going to see as we work through it, that there are two things that are underlying it. First, there is the Christmas hymn of the Father's love begotten, and then there is the Te Deum Laudamus in its description of the work of Christ. And that might sound odd, but you know it'll make sense as we work our way through it why these two seem to be informing the background of the text.
What do we know about the occasion and the authorship of this particular hymn?
Well, this is really one of the fascinating ones. First of all, I have to give a shout out again to our Lutheran service book, Hymnal Companion, which is really just an amazing collection. And in the Hymnal Companion, some of my favorite essays are by Cantor Resch. This is one of those. So, a great, great scholar and lover of the church's music. And he notes in that, hey, this is the only hymn we have by a female hymn writer in Martin Luther's own immediate circle. Elizabeth Kreuziger is her name, and her husband, Caspar, actually was on the theological faculty alongside of Luther at Wittenberg University. And when Luther's appeal had gone out, this is actually before they were married, Luther had begged for some hymns by any decent poet to be put into German that would bring into the German language the great joy that we have in a lot of the Latin or early church hymns. And Elizabeth, well, she composed the hymn that we're about to study. Now, she followed the same path as Katie Luther. So she started out as a nun. She ended up married to a theological professor, Caspar, and that was in 1524. And before they were married, though, that's when she actually wrote the hymn, when Luther first sort of sent out this word, I need hymns. Please give me hymns in German. I can't do this all on my own. And she tried her hand at it. What's kind of fascinating is that because she was a woman, after a time, there were people that just began to, you know, sort of diss the hymn or think it's not her. It's not, it couldn't have been written by a woman. It had to have been written by a man, right? It's a false attribution to say it was Elizabeth Krusinger. It's not true at all. It was written by Elizabeth, and there's no doubt Luther himself actually encouraged its publication and its use. So, you know, it makes it hugely in Lutheran church music to the point that the great J.S. Bach, he picks it up in Cantata 96 and Cantata 164, has preludes on it, both in the Orgelbüchlein and he, you know, several other preludes. And of course, it is the hymn of the day in both the 1 year and the 3 year series for Epiphany. So, I mean, if you're at a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation this coming Sunday, this should be the hymn of the day. If it's not, ask your pastor why.
Oh, two questions on that.
Yeah.
Why do you think it took such quick root and stayed as a mainstay? It's really something for Bach to choose your hymn to include in one of and more of his cantatas.
Well, I think because it really seizes hold quite clearly on Luther's key insight into the gospel itself as this source of joy, that God comes into the flesh to align with us against the enemies of the human race. And she seizes that and puts it forward. You're going to see it as we work our way through the text. And I think that simply made it be just a joyous text. Now, it has a solemn tune, but the solemn tune is still a very joyous tune, when we tend to hear a minor mode, we tend to immediately think of something sad. I mean, that's just silly. This is not sad, it's solemn, and it is solemn joy. And it's really a great, 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 great text. We should add about the tune. We don't know who actually composed the tune. I suppose it's a possibility that, it arose from one of the people in that little intimate circle there at Wittenberg. But it has what's generally described as characteristics of folk songs. It, you know, has some of the repetition. And above all, it's just easy. It's easy to learn, easy to sing. And so it carries the words in a very memorable manner.
And then why was it so important for Luther at the time that there be hymns? Why was he calling for hymns?
Well, he wanted the word of God to be stuck down into people's hearts and heads. And the best way to do that is to carry it with music. Everybody knows that, right? I mean, my standard example is I can go back to that stupid jingle from when we were kids, Todd. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders, don't upset. How come I remember that? Well, it's rhymed and it's set to music. And therefore, it just imprints itself into our minds. Well, Luther's like, well, that's not just for jingles, for selling crap. That's for actually putting the word of God down inside people's heads and hearts. And that's what he was really trying to do with the hymns.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. He's host of a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. When we come back, the first stanza, The Only Son from Heaven, foretold by ancient seers, by God the Father given in human form appears. No sphere his light confining, no star so brightly shining as he, our morning star. We'll be right back. Is James' teaching on faith, works, and justification reconcilable with the rest of Scripture? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is the new Concordia Commentary on James. It's written by Issues Etc. guest Dr. Curtis Giese. The Concordia Commentary on James is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Concordia Commentary on James, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
This is Deaconess Betsy Dodgers at Concordia University Chicago, inviting all high school students to attend the annual Careers for Christ weekend in person on our beautiful campus in River Forest. Careers for Christ is February 4th through 6th. You'll have the opportunity to learn about professional church vocations while having fun with CUC staff, faculty, and students. For more information, visit cuchicago.edu/C4C.
Bethel Lutheran Church in Howard City, Michigan preaches Christ and Him crucified.
At Bethel, God's word of salvation is boldly proclaimed in all its truth, and the sacraments are rightly administered.
These means of grace help us peacefully navigate the craziness of this world. Bethel is centrally located between Grand Rapids and Big Rapids, just 2 miles east of US 131.
Our divine services are at 9:30 a.m. Join us this Sunday to receive God's marvelous gifts of grace.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
That stanza one of the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. Pastor Whedon, what are your thoughts on this first stanza?
Well, I want to sort of back up if we can, and let me give you a more literal rendering, unpoetic, of what she actually first wrote. It's hard to get it from one language to another, right, and keep it in poetry. But this is what she originally said. Lord Christ, the only Son of God, of the Father, who has eternally sprung out of His heart, made like us as we are. He is the morning star. His glory far excels all other stars. So, you know, Cantor Resch's article on this hymn, he points out that it all really drives toward that final bit. He is our morning star. And that, of course, indicates how Jesus identified Himself. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and descendant of David, the bright morning star. Our English translation celebrates that the only Son from heaven was foretold by the prophets. Of course, that is the key contention of the entirety of the New Testament. This is the one long promised, who alone fulfills every promise that God ever made. They're all yea and amen in him, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. But I think it's right to note that we sort of lost something in English when we lose that sprung from the Father's heart. As Resch notes, that really is a marvelous putting into German vernacular of the opening line of Coordinatus ex parentis, which we know as of the Father's love begotten ere the worlds began to be. In human form, that kind of language, that calls to mind Philippians 2, St. Paul's great hymn there, to the one who assumed the form of a servant, morphe doulou, and let go the form of God, morphe theou. Not that he let go his divine nature, but the form, the outward display of God, that he might take on the outward display of the servant. No sphere his light confining? I think that suggests something quite startling. The sphere, of course, refers to the bodies of the stars, like our sun, from which light shines forth. But the light that shines from Jesus, because he is light of light, begotten of the Father and not made, it's an uncreated light. That's what the disciples saw at Tabor on the Mount of the Transfiguration. It's what Saul saw on the way to Damascus, right? I mean, it's high noon in the desert. And he's like, and then I saw a bright light that was, you know, brighter than the sun, knocks him off his horse, the uncreated light. And light here is really light, even though it's uncreated. So you got a lot running in the background there from the scriptures. The Lord is my light and my salvation, Psalm 27, or Isaiah 60, rise, shine, your light has come. Even Isaiah 9, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Or Balaam's prophecy in Numbers 24 that a star is going to come out of Jacob. I mean, all that scripture is dancing together there, and Elizabeth Krusiger figured out a way to sort of knit it together in a wonderful way so that it all celebrates the light that is in Christ, our morning star.
I wanted you to go a little bit more into that no sphere his light confining that you mentioned a moment ago. It sounds like the hymn writer is saying here, although the fullness of deity dwelt bodily in him, as Paul reminds us, his divinity is in no way whatsoever limited. This is kind of a Calvinist versus Lutheran question, limited by the finiteness of his humanity.
Yeah, that, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Calvinist thing there, because, I mean, the real point there is is the, you know, they'll say the finite is not capable of the infinite, but the Lutheran answer always was, but the infinite is capable of the finite. So inside of Christ and unconfined by his humanity, instead is going to lift up his humanity, exalt his humanity to the point of being able to share all the privileges of the Godhead, not that they become essentially the properties of the humanity, but the humanity has communion with them and therefore benefits from them. This is, you know, I mean, if we can put it that way, that's at the heart of Lutheran Christology. It's one of the deepest articles, the Genus Majestaticum. And there it is, put into very simple, beautiful prose language that a kid can sing and go, oh, I see. No sphere his light confining. Christ, our morning star.
One of our fellow pastors posted something a week or so ago on social media that I found intriguing in that vein, Will. And they said, after his resurrection, Jesus kind of pops in and out. He appears and then he disappears for those 40 days in his appearing, in his resurrection. And he said, it's not because Jesus is somehow ephemeral or wispy or not there, but it's, he said, it's because after his resurrection, by comparison, this world is actually wispy and cloudy and ephemeral to Jesus.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. That I mean, he is always present. I mean, all the divine attributes apply to his humanity through the union of the through the personal union. So, yeah, I mean, he picture God outside of time and it's all in front of him as one thing, right? It's all from beginning to end is there. That's where Jesus is in his humanity too right now. He literally enters into time and takes from time that human nature, which he then exalts to the privileges of Godhead. It's amazing.
Stanza 2 of The Only Son from Heaven. O time of God appointed, O bright and holy morn, he comes, the King anointed, the Christ, the Virgin born, grim death to vanquish for us, to open heaven before us, and bring us life again. The second stanza of The Only Son from Heaven. Will, what's in this second stanza?
Well, when he says the time of God appointed, or she says the time of God appointed, the appointed time certainly should bring into our minds Paul's lingo from Galatians 4:4, right? But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Sort of the first statement there of what we would call the blessed exchange. So when that moment arrives that the one who has been born as an earthly guest. Well, he's been an earthly guest from the conception in his mother's womb. He finally shows his face to his mother and Joseph and later the shepherds, and they all adore him. He steps out visibly, and even though he still looks so weak and so helpless, what has he come to do? He's come to be the king, the anointed one, the virgin-born one who is the new David, sent out to slay the Goliath of death itself. So you need to note the picture here of Christ's work. It is what we would classically call Christus Victor, right? This is the Christ who comes to align himself with the miseries of the human race in order to defeat our enemies and throw wide open the kingdom of heaven before us. This is Luther's favorite way of preaching the gospel. I mean, you see it in his great hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. And I think that it's not an accident that somebody in his close circle of friends really got this and found great, great, great joy in it. And that's what's ringing through this hymn. And when it says that he came to open heaven before us, I can't help but hear again, as I said at the intro, words from the Te Deum. Remember how this went? Remember, she as a nun would have known the Te Deum by heart, right? Well, most Christians at the time did. When thou tookest upon thee to deliver man, thou didst not spurn the virgin's womb. When thou hadst overcome the sharpness of death, thou didst open the kingdom of heaven to all believers. We therefore pray thee to help thy servants, whom thou hast redeemed with thy precious blood, make them to be numbered with thy saints in glory everlasting. I think that her stanza there is almost a paraphrase of that very section of the Te Deum. Beautiful thing. And I think in this whole stanza, this idea of God so aligning with sending Christ to be our Savior and Rescuer, the one who has come to defeat our real enemies. That's its real power. And of course, I can't help. I knew every time I think about talking to you, Todd, about this subject, I always think about our little English carol that we both love. You know, the little child, so this little babe so few days old has come to rifle Satan's fold. That's the same picture she's painting here. The king, the anointed one, who's come to kick some demonic butt.
Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is our guest. We're studying the Epiphany hymn, that millions of Christians will be singing this very Sunday, The Only Son from Heaven. I'm Todd Wilkin. In the latest Issues Etc. Journal, I've written an article called Lutheran Comfort. It's very simple. I just went through a list of things that as a Lutheran, I find gives me great comfort. These things are not uniquely Lutheran, but they're all found there. Scripture, the sacraments, law and gospel, the catechism, the Book of Concord, the church's tradition, and the liturgy. You can read this article for yourself absolutely free. Go to our website, issuesetc.org. There's a red subscription button. All you got to do is click on that and enter your email address, and we'll send you the latest online Issues Etc. journal. Also has a Wittenberg Trail feature from Peter Slayton, his journey from Me for Jesus Christianity to Jesus for Me Christianity. Issuesetc.org. Look for the red subscription button. On the other side of the break, there is a little line there in that second stanza, and Bring Us Life Again. We'll talk about it with Pastor Will Wheaton. If you appreciate Issues Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Deaconesses are women trained to share the gospel of Jesus Christ through works of mercy, spiritual care, and teaching of the Christian faith. The word deaconess means servant. Find out more on how you can serve in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod through the vocation of deaconess at lcms.org/deaconess. Working in faith, laboring in love, remaining steadfast in the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. LCMS Deaconess Ministry, lcms.org/deaconess.
Memoria Press's award-winning Latin programs are designed to teach your student to master Latin grammar through an easy-to-use step-by-step process. By studying Latin, your student will gain an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and develop sound critical thinking skills. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR22. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. MemoriaPress.com.
Many educational institutions are governed by the whims of culture and are increasingly hostile to the Word of God. In contrast, Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas, provides classical Lutheran education rooted in God's Word for students preschool through grade 12. Simply put, we equip students to stand firm in the faith through solid education focused on wisdom and virtue. We offer in-person instruction as well as live online classes for remote learning. To learn more, visit flsplano.org, flsplano.org.
Your daily Lutheran Bible class. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario. Emmanuel Lutheran, Dearborn, Michigan. Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Eagle, Nebraska. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Eola, Texas. Peace Lutheran, Filer, Idaho. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Sycamore, Illinois. St. Peter Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. And Zion Lutheran, Accident, Maryland. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Monday, January the 11th, we're studying the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven, with Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, that line there at the end of the second stanza, "and bring us life again," if you would talk about how he doesn't just restore our old lives back to us, but by the resurrection, Jesus gives us his life.
Yeah, and I think the key to life in the Bible is always recognizing life in the eyes of God is communion with the God who is the God of life. Take away communion with the God of life, and whatever else you have, it's not really life. That's just, it's handy that the Greek has those two terms, right? Bios and Zoe, right? We use Zoe to describe the life that is in God, the life that is real life, and Bios to describe, you're breathing, you're walking around, but are you really alive? Are you connected to him who is life? Well, the ultimate connection to him who is life is the resurrection of the dead, which Christ himself proclaims himself to be. I am the resurrection and the life, which he promises he will give to us already now in this age, but will fulfill in us at the day of his return.
Here is stanza 3 of the Epiphany hymn, "The Only Son from Heaven." O Lord, our hearts awaken to know and love you more, in faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore, that we, through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there. Well, if this were a collect, this would kind of be that section of those short prayers where we say, therefore, and we ask for something. What are we asking for here in this stanza?
That is a really great question because, let me back up just one little step. This stanza that is indeed asking for the thing is actually a condensation of what was originally there. So this is the poet's, the translator of the poet. When this first came out in Worship Supplement in 1969, the translator actually condensed three stanzas into one to just give us the, what we just heard. And he did a beautiful job. And I want to go through that. But I'd like for us to first hear what Elizabeth actually wrote for the three stanzas. They run like this. And just like you pointed out, here's the prayer. Let us increase in your love and knowledge, that we remain in the faith, serving you in spirit, that we may taste here your sweetness in our hearts and continually thirst after you. Creator of all things, fatherly power, you rule mightily of your own authority from end to end. Incline our hearts to you and cleanse our senses that they may not stray from you. Kill us through your kindness. Awaken us through your mercy. Make the old man weak so that the new might live. And here on this earth, direct my mind and thoughts and every desire to you. That's a lot of petition in there, or supplication in there. It's beautiful, and it absolutely asks for really great stuff for us all, and certainly the poet's praying for herself too. Now, if we move to the translation that we have, and the way that it sort of condenses it, it's very concise. O Lord, our hearts awaken to know and love you more, in faith to stand unshaken, in spirit to adore, that we through this world moving, each glimpse of heaven proving, may reap its fullness there. Notice first that God has to awaken our hearts if they're going to increase in their knowledge and love of the Lord. Shades of Lydia there in Acts 16, and how the Lord opened her heart to listen and believe the good news that Paul and Silas proclaimed. In 1524, Luther hadn't yet written Bondage of the Will, but he was still teaching very clearly that humans do not have this capacity in themselves to actually do this, but God has to give this by his grace. The result of this opened heart that grows in knowledge and love of the Lord is faith, faith that stands unshaken. And if faith is standing unshaken, the inner spirit is, you know, face planting before the Lord, adoring. Faith relies on the word, on the promises of God. It finds those promises to be like an unmoving rock and foundation. I can't help but think of Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O Lord, listen to my prayer from the ends of the earth. I cry to you when my spirit is faint. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a refuge, a strong tower against the enemy. His promises make him that strong tower, that mighty rock of refuge for us. And above all, the promise, like you have in Romans 8:28, man, boy, do we need to underline this in our day. All things, underline that all things work together for the good of those who love him, even and especially the trials and hardships that come, even the crazy stuff we've been living through in this past COVID-tide year and all the weird stuff this week. When you live in the joy of Romans 8:28, and you know that you live in the unshakable love of God through Jesus Christ, then everything, it becomes opportunity for worship. You get to join old Job in saying, hey, the Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Adoration of the one who promises that through it all, he will bring us from the heartache and the suffering of this age into his joyous kingdom. So we learn to literally live toward that end. We seek to live already in this age the unending life of the kingdom of God, which is what makes the church at once be so, so threatening and scary to the world, and yet also so very compelling. As I like to put it, they smell the odor of resurrection on us. Now, people who know where we're headed, how the book ends, how life wraps up, and that it is all life and love from God, all that we've already known by faith in Christ, that's the future we're running towards. And on that day, everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to know it. Everybody's going to experience it.
It says, each glimpse of heaven proving. What are those glimpses of heaven as we move through this life, a la this stanza?
I think above all, the glimpses of heaven that God gives us are whenever we experienced pure, unselfish love, which, you know, he gives us many experiences of, from little things, from a parent to a child, to a neighbor helping out of the blue. Go down the line, all the little tastes of love that God scatters across our lives. Each one of those is a teasing taste of heaven. And God's saying in each one, oh, you think that's something? Just wait till you experience the thing. Like you're drinking from a little, you know, a faucet that's dripping out some very sweet, wonderful water. He's like, wait till I put the fire hose on you. You know, it's going to be awesome.
Would we include also glimpses of heaven, although it's got to be more than glimpses? The preaching of the word, the reception of the sacraments, those are more than just a little glimmer.
Well, I mean, I think those are the if there's a fire hose in this world, those are the fire hose aiming the love of God at us. I think the difference, though, is that those are experiences of God's love that we can't, I mean, we believe rather than we base on how we experience them, right? So, I mean, I can go to communion on a given day, and as I receive the Lord's body and blood, I truly believe that what he says is so and that this is his love for me. But I may not feel that love inside on that day. I may just be feeling like I think God hates me. Sometimes you have those feelings, right? And so we learn to base it on what God says, not how we feel. But I think that the way that Elizabeth describes it in this stanza, it sounds to me like we're talking more about the experiences that you go, yeah, that really was a little foretaste of heaven itself. Just a beautiful, beautiful thing pulling us further into the future that God's planned for us.
Pastor Will Wheaton is our guest. We're studying the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. When we come back, we'll be looking at this stanza, stanza 4. O Father, here before you with God the Holy Ghost, and Jesus, we adore you, O Pride of Angel Host. Before you mortals lowly cry, Holy, 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 O Blessed Trinity.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue our feasting on Ephesians. With unity of the Spirit, He gave gifts, speaking truth in love, putting on, putting off, and be kind to one another. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Male and female, He created them. Thus the Lord made Adam and Eve, and then put them in relationship to each other as husband and wife. This relationship of husband and wife is a frequent theme throughout the Scriptures, and it also happens to be the theme of the January issue of the Lutheran Witness. We talk about husbands and wives, how modern media, particularly children's movies, portray fathers. Visit cph.org/witness to order your copy, or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Is it possible for the Apostle Paul to teach the doctrine of faith alone without using the words faith alone? Find out in my column in the latest Issues, Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Katie Price Vogel writes about her journey from the false assurance of works in Roman Catholicism to the true assurance of Jesus' accomplished work in the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook. facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Do you long for a church where the gospel of the sinner's free justification is front and center, and yet where a robust sacramental life is confessed and lived? Do you long for a church that rejoices in the sacred scriptures as the sole basis for the church's teaching and proclamation, yet values and listens to the witness of the ancient fathers and councils? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a Christ-centered, cross-focused church near you on the Find the Church page at issuesetc.org.
Final stanza of the Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. We're studying this hymn with Pastor Will Whedon. He's assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois, formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands, and he hosts the 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. So, Will, what are your thoughts on this final stanza of The Only Son from Heaven?
Well, first off, we have to note, we don't know where this the stanza appears for the first time in Lutheran Book of Worship in 78, I think. So we're not sure who actually wrote it. They just sort of stuck it onto her stanza. This is not originally Elizabeth's piece, but wow, what a great doxology. I mean, it's just really super, and I'm glad that they kept it. It literally pulls us, because this is where life ends up. Life ends up in doxology. It's why so many of our hymns carry us down that exact same stream. Did you notice something unusual, though, in the way it's laid out?
It's Father, Holy Ghost, and Jesus.
I mean, yeah, right? So that should, you know, sometimes people scratch their heads over that. It's like, wait a minute, they're in the wrong order, aren't they? Well, St. Basil, very famously in his wonderful little treatise on the Holy Spirit, he said that when God gave us the doctrine of the Trinity, he did not make the numbers part of the gift. By that, he meant we're used to saying first person, second person, third person. We do that and keep them in our minds straight. It's the way the creed actually does list them out, so it makes sense to go first, second, third. But he points out that's actually not something divinely revealed. And so I love the fact that whoever the poet of this stanza was, they just ignored that. And they went with Father and Holy Ghost first. And I think the big thing is neither Father nor Holy Ghost have flesh and blood, right? But it's the Son, it's Jesus, who the eternal Son who takes on our flesh. So between us and, if I can put it this way, the unincarnate God, right? Between us and the incarnate God, there stands the incarnate God. That is Jesus. And so he's the one that we join to there. Beautiful that it says, O pride of angel hosts, the pride of the angels. That's what just a happy line. You know, the Trinity is the absolute joy of the holy angels. And he's their very boast. They don't have anything to boast about except for the one who made them and before whom they raised their unending trisagion, their thrice holy hymn, Sanctus, holy, holy, holy. And long, long has the church heard in the three holies a confession of Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Ghost. There is a beautiful version of the Sanctus that Lochner supplies in his book, The Chief Divine Service, really great, great book that Matt Carver recently Englished for us. It makes this explicit. It's the fourth option for the Sanctus. Holy is God the Father. Holy is God the Son. Holy is God the Holy Ghost. He is the Lord of Sabaoth. All the world is full of his glory. From the Braunschweig-Wolfenbüttel Order of 1543. Notice, though, it's not angels who are spoken of here as carrying the joy of the Sanctus forward. We know they do it, but the whole point is that we get to join in the song of the angels. Before you mortals, lowly, us, we get to join the angels in crying out, Holy, 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 oh, blessed Trinity. That's what Jesus' work has done for us. It's made us to be the companions of the angels. You see it in Revelation chapters 4 and 5, right? I mean, it starts out with just the angels singing there, holy, 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 but then it gradually sweeps bigger and bigger because of the Lamb who was slain. And all of a sudden, all of creation gets to join in raising the praise to God.
And I think it's so fitting that they added this doxology and then ended it the way that they do, because it is precisely to bring us that holiness of the Trinity, that thrice holiness, as holy as holy can get in Hebrew grammar.
Mm-hmm.
It's precisely to bring us God's own holiness that the only Son came from heaven.
Right. He came from heaven to bring that light to us, I mean, and to let us share in it. I mean, the truth of the matter is, there's never been any other life in all the world except for the holiness of God. But because of our sin, it was death to us, right? So the Son comes down into human flesh in order to make that holiness accessible to us so that it can be to us the advent of life and joy. And that's what it is in this particular hymn.
Let's hear the entire Epiphany hymn, The Only Son from Heaven.
Holy Son from heaven, foretold by angels and seers, by God the Father given, in human form appears. No spirit is
The Epiphany Hymn, The Only Son from Heaven. Pastor Whedon, what are your final thoughts on this hymn?
Well, the hymn is, as we said, for Epiphany 2, which is always the story of the wedding feast at Cana of Galilee, where it wraps up with, and Jesus manifested his glory, and the disciples believed in him. So it's sung to Christ, who shows up. Remember we said at the beginning that the difference between Epiphany and Christmas is at Christmas, it's God who shows up as man, but in Epiphany, it is the revelation of that man to be true God. When he does the miracle at Cana and by his very word to the servants, has the water changed into wine, and not just any wine, but the very best wine that was ever served that day, and everybody is astounded. The disciples realize, who can do this? Who can do this? This has to be God in the flesh. And that's what this hymn celebrates. God himself has shown up in human flesh.
Pastor Will Whedon is assistant pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel, Illinois. He formerly served as director of worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of the books Celebrating the Saints, Thank, Praise, Serve, and Obey, and See My Savior's Hands. And he hosts a daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study produced by Lutheran Public Radio called The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Will, thank you.
Hey, thank you so much, Todd.
Folks, I highly recommend that you listen to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Pastor Whedon is teaching this week on unity in the body of Christ and the new life in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen at your convenience at thewordendures.org or on your favorite podcast provider, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Whedon. Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss what we can learn from the Benedict option. Our guest will be Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Lutheran Talk.
We have an ecumenical responsibility to hold forth the Scriptures and to bear witness to grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere in 2020 with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
I am beautiful because I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am accepted because I'm a part of His family through Jesus' shed blood.
Unity Lutheran School in East St. Louis, Illinois, shines the light of Christ in one of the most impoverished cities in America. Learn how to support their mission work at unityesl.org. Unityesl.org.
Today, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I say yes to God in His ways.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.